Chapter 16. Hazard Mitigation. The carrion spike drifted aimlessly between worlds in another nameless star system. An unscheduled stop this time. The result of a split-second decision on Sadek's part, executed as the corvette was scudding away from the exploding fuel tanker, chased by starfighters and with the escort carrier's cannons, tractor beam, and torpedoes desperately trying to find it. The ordeal at Findar had left the corvette battered, bruised, and shaken. The armored hull was rashed with melt circles, and most of the exterior lights were molten heaps. The effects of the tractor beam, which had grabbed the ship more by chance than as the result of any skill on the part of the Goliath's crew, had ripped away part of the Rectenna array. The interior looked as if a whirlwind had blown through, and surges of energy had fried most of the appliances in the galley and medical bay. Areas of the ship were now off-limits because of airlock damage and radiation leaks. The toilets and showers had stopped working, and emergency illumination prevailed. Most of the alarms had been disabled to prevent them from sounding. Telltales were flashing across the command center's console, and some of the comp routines were refusing to reboot. Weapons and stealth systems, sensor suite, hyperdrive, and navicomputer had fared better, but the shield generators were functioning only at 50% capacity. "On the bright side," Teller was telling his fellow shipjackers, "close calls make for captivating holovids." All six of them were in the dimly lighted command cabin, nursing their wounds when they weren't fiddling with various instruments. Honora's forehead bore a square of Bacta patch, and some of her brownish curls had been clipped away to accommodate a second patch on her scalp.
"The Empire has suspended holonet service to most of the sector," she said in a weak, defeated voice. "I doubt our transmission reached more than half a dozen systems."
"We only need to have reached one," Teller said, trying to sound encouraging. "Give it time and the holovid will spread to other sectors."
"I didn't have a chance to edit out the lag before the tanker explosion," Hask said. "But there's one sequence showing the starfighters ganging up on us."
Carla emerged from an access hatch in the deck plates.
"The explosion would have taken out the Eta II and all the V-wings if the charge hadn't been late in detonating. It's possible the tanker's containment bins were equipped with sensors that monitor whether fuel cells are fully depleted. A sensor in the bin might have detected the bomb and initiated attempts to neutralize or contain the detonation."
"Not our concern," Salek said from the command chair. The low light had little effect on his ability to see, and he was scanning the instruments as he spoke.
"We're lucky we got away when we did. The Goliath had us in target lock."
Hask fixed her gaze on Teller.
"You think Tarkin and Vader would have given the order to fire, knowing they might have blown up the tanker?"
"Are you asking seriously?" Teller said.
Hask frowned.
"Maybe not about destroying the tanker, but his own starfighter pilots were in harm's way."
Teller leaned back against the portside bulkhead.
"Remember what I was telling you about Tarkin's days with the Outland Region Security Force, and that special ship he designed with the swing and pintle-mounted front guns?"
"I remember."
"Well, he didn't only deploy it against the pirates," Teller said. "You'd think he would have blamed Iriadu's troubles on the core worlds, which were skimming most of the profits from the Sesuena's lomite trade. But he really had it in for the outlaws who were harassing the Sesuena. When Outland's counteroffenses stopped yielding the desired results, Tarkin decided to extend the militia's reach by targeting any groups that were supporting or harboring the Sesuena's foes. It didn't matter to him that the support groups were caught in the middle, threatened by pirates on one side and menaced by Outland on the other. Civilian casualties, you might say, Hask, but not to Tarkin. They were allies of his enemies, and that meant enemies of his and deserving whatever he decided to level against them."
Teller firmed his lips and gave his head a mournful shake. Outland was brutal in what its warships dished out. No one knows how many were killed or where the bodies were buried.
but even with the flotilla they'd amassed, Outland couldn't be everywhere at once. So Tarkin came up with the idea of making the supporters responsible for their own protection by arming them against the pirates. That way, they managed to open a separate front against the pirates, and eventually turned one group of supporters against another. With everyone suspicious about who was secretly siding with or supporting whom, they began to turn on one another out of fear of reprisals from Outland. It was a kind of mutually assured annihilation, and ultimately Tarkin rid the Sesuena of its problems. Tella fell silent for a moment. You never know what events give shape to someone's life, to someone's moral choices. Maybe it was centuries of having to defend themselves against the predators, or the centuries of raids by pirates, slavers, and privateers that shaped the Iriaduan character. Maybe the history of the place seeped into their genetic makeup, resulting in an appetite for violence.